This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Poor young people today are growing up in an atmosphere that those of us who are older or better off have difficulty comprehending. Children are dealing drugs and carrying guns, sometimes with no one in the family to tell them to stop. We're going to meet two young people who were arrested for crimes and are now trying to straighten themselves out. Each spent time at the Camden County Youth Center, a detention center in New Jersey. Later, we'll meet the administrator, Mary Previty, whose mission is to help young people. Our first guest was taken to the center after he was charged with aggravated assault. He's 15 years old, of Italian descent, and lives with his parents, a 6-year-old sister, 13-year-old cousin, and both grandmothers. Because he's underage, he will remain anonymous. He's now at a residential education program administered by the Camden County Probation Office. If he doesn't make it through this program, he will be sent to training school, what used to be called reform school. He told me he started getting into trouble when he was young, doing things like lighting small fires.
We put stuff in a trash can or whatever, and then we got in trouble for doing that kind of stuff. Or, like, if there was cars in the lot, we'd, like, break the windows or something.
What's the pleasure of setting fire to something?
Well, I don't know. We just, like, did it. Like, I guess because there's nothing else to do, really.
Mm-hmm. When you got older, did most of your friends carry weapons?
A lot of them do, but, like, about 95% of them do with stuff because they, like, they think that they need it for protection or whatever.
Guns?
Guns, knives, like, not sticks, I wouldn't call it, like, like a pole or something.
Is it easy to get a gun?
Yeah, it is. Like, in my house now, you could go in these apartments and just get one. And you can also go to, like, Philly, Camden. Just get right off the speed line. There's certain places you can go and get a gun.
What kinds of places? Are you talking about stores or underground,
like,
places?
There's people's apartments that sell them. There's, like, pizza stores. All kinds of stuff. People on the streets.
So if most of the people you know have guns or knives or sticks that they're carrying around, is it possible to go around without carrying yourself?
It is, but it isn't. Because then you always got that feeling that someone's out to get you, so you got to make sure you're ready to get them before they get you. And then sometimes it's like you don't need it because you know you're not going to get in trouble, or you just don't want that kind of problem that day or whatever.
What kind of weapon would you carry?
Would I carry, or do I carry?
What did you carry?
I had a gun before that, and I had knives and stuff, but most of the time I didn't carry nothing unless I was going somewhere like big.
Now, what's a big place where you'd have to be sure you had a weapon?
All right, it's like the mall. Sometimes it depends, it depends what you're going there for. If you're going there just to shop, like if you're going to be there fast, you don't really need it, but if you're going to be there just to hang out, something could happen, so you're going to take your gun. And, like, parties and stuff, just in case something happens.
Now, one of your friends was killed with battery acid?
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, he was addicted to cocaine, right? And he was doing it for a while, and then all of a sudden, someone just gave him blow, which is cocaine, and they just, like, it was battery acid, and he did it, and he died.
You have a poem that was published in the newsletter, What's Happening. It's the newsletter at the Camden County Youth Center called Joey Died of Drugs. Can I ask you to read that for us?
Yeah. All right. When my friend Joey died, his mom asked me, tell me the truth. Did Joey do drugs? She was crying. I was stuttering. How do you tell your best friend's mom that her son's a geezer, died of beet drugs, blow, and battery acid? I hid my face in my hands, pulled the hat down over my face so I didn't have to look at Joey's mom. I can't think it was all my fault. I shouldn't have dissed him when he needed my help. Shouldn't have called him a geezer. I knew the girl did drugs. I shouldn't have hooked Joey up with her. We all went out and got drunk that night.
So did you end up saying anything to his mother?
Yeah, I told her. Like, she just kept on asking. And then I was just like, and I stuttered, and I was like, yeah. And she was like, why didn't you try to help him? And I was like, I did, but he wouldn't listen. But then we just didn't try no more. And everything.
So did you feel guilty because you had set him up with someone who did drugs?
Yeah, because, like, we was at a party and I knew this girl. Well, I knew definitely that she did it, but, like, my peoples told me that she did blow and all. And he thought she looked good, and I was like, all right, I'll go get a number for you. And I did, and they start talking and everything. And then I found out for good that she did. And then I didn't tell him. And then all of a sudden, he just started doing it with her and everything because she did it, I guess, or whatever. And then all of a sudden, he was doing it with her.
What are some of your best and worst childhood memories?
My best childhood memories?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Like, doing good in school so my parents be proud of me. Just being with my family. Like, when we used to go on vacation and stuff because we'd all be together. And that's Christmas time, there was good memories because all my family was there and it was, like, there was nobody missing or anything. Like, holidays, basically. Like, that's about it, really. And my worst childhood memories, that's a lot of them. Like, I put my parents down for failing in school, doing bad in school, getting in trouble, getting locked up. Well, not locked up, but getting in trouble with the cops and stuff. Being here. And then when I was younger, just doing all stupid stuff.
How long have you been at the Camden Detention Center?
Well, the detention center, I was there for 4 months. And I've been here for 3 at the prep program.
At the prep program?
Yeah.
Do you feel you're learning interesting things there?
Yeah, I learn a lot.
What kinds of stuff?
Like, not to snap. Like, if someone says something to me, don't feed to it, too. Like, if someone gonna say something about my mom, if I know it's not true, why should I say anything back? But, and if it is true, I shouldn't say anything anyway because it's not worth it. And so just not to fight. We're not feeding into anybody's stuff because that's what gets me in trouble.
Do you wish you could change your friends' thinking on that, too, and get them to think the way you're thinking now?
Yeah, I wish, but, like, my close boys, like, the ones that are true to my heart and everything, we close, like, we like brothers and all, they pretty much change it. The only thing that we can't change in most of my boys is that they won't stop selling drugs. It's because none of us could get a job yet. And if we could get a job, that if they found out we had, like, a criminal record, a lot of people won't accept you and all that. Because that's, like in the mall and all, they look into that or whatever. I don't know. I heard they look into that. So they'd be like, no, we can't have you here or whatever. So they just keep on selling drugs because it makes more money.
You said that, you know, at the detention center, at the prep program, you've learned things about not, you know, trying not to get into a fight every time somebody says something. Is there something that has changed in you that makes you more likely to listen to that and take that seriously? Or is this the first time anyone has even given you that advice?
Like, nah, this ain't the first time I got that voice. It's just that my attitude changed a lot as I got locked up. Like, I grew up from, like, the age of 3 to the age of 15, like, over the last 7 months, it seems like. Because before, you might as well say I was, like, a little kid before because I just did whatever thing to please myself. But now I got to do stuff not to please others but to be proud of myself and also others, too. And to set an example for, like, my boys, I'm going to try to set an example for them. Even though I ain't older than most of them, but I got respect from a lot of them. I can set an example. And I also got little cousins and little sisters and stuff like that. My little sister and everybody, I want to try to set an example for, too.
What kind of job would you like to get, and what kind of job do you think you'll be able to get?
Well, I got 2 job offers when I get out of here now. Like, one's at a diner, like a restaurant, and one's at a pizza parlor. And I got no problem with it because it's basically easy money, too. All I got to do is, like, wait on tables or something at both places and make food, so that's not that hard. I'm going to have to, like, work hard and sell drugs and all, but it's pretty much easy. It's not what I want to do in my life, but for now it's good enough.
Are you thinking about what you do want to do with the rest of your life? Or, I mean, that's a really big question, and it's sometimes impossible to answer. Sometimes you never know till it happens.
Nah, I've been locked up for a while, so I've been thinking about it a lot.
So what are you thinking?
Like, I know I want to get out of here and I'll go back to school. And, like, since while I'm in here, because I'm here because something that happened in school, so it's going to get harder to go back to a regular school. I'm going to have to go to, like, I don't know what you call it, like a reform school or something. Like for people that like get in trouble a lot or something. But I want to go back to a regular school, high school and all. So I'm going to try to go back to that and get my diploma and graduate and everything, whatever. And then I want to just like, I don't know. I'm not sure if I want to go to college or not. Because I was looking into being like a chef because I like cooking and stuff like that. So I might go to like a culinary arts school or something.
That's interesting. What kinds of dishes do you most like to cook?
Like, I don't know, like, I don't really cook anything now. I just cook easy stuff now, but now I cook, like, a lot of Italian foods and stuff.
Uh-huh. Like pastas and sauces?
Yeah, that's easy.
My guest, who will remain anonymous, spoke to us from the PrEP program run by the Camden County Probation Office. It's a residential education program. We'll hear from a teenager who used to sell drugs after this break. This is Fresh Air. We're continuing our discussion about young people and crime. My guest, Eric Penny, used to deal drugs. Like our first guest, he spent time at the Camden County Youth Center, a detention center in New Jersey. Now he's starting a new life, living with an aunt in rural New Jersey. Derek is 18 years old and Latino. He spent his early childhood in New York, but was later sent to Camden, New Jersey.
After my father died in New York, I moved to Camden with my grandmother. And after a year of living with her, she sort of got tired of us, so I moved in with my aunt. And my cousins were already selling drugs, so eventually I started too.
Now, your cousins were selling drugs and you were living with your aunt. Did your aunt know that they were selling drugs?
Yes, she did.
What was her attitude about it?
Well, she never really said anything about it. So
even though she knew?
Yeah, she just permitted it. She just let it happen.
Was there anyone to tell you that it was a bad idea to sell drugs?
No.
No one told you that?
I knew it was, but nobody told me.
So what kind of drugs were you selling?
I was selling marijuana first when I was about 15 years old, I started.
And then?
And then I moved on to selling marijuana, cocaine, and crack cocaine.
Did you make a lot of money?
Sort of. It was enough for me.
How much would you say you made in a week when you were doing well? Yeah. Or in a day, whichever is easier to come up with.
In a day, I would make about, you know, $90, $100.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's enough.
What would you spend it on?
I would go to the movies with friends or just hang out and buy clothes. That's it.
Did you ever use drugs yourself?
I smoked marijuana.
But you wouldn't do anything?
No.
Why not?
Because when I was really small and living in Brooklyn, New York, I saw what, you know, heavy drugs did to people. I saw people catch overdoses and, you know, just walking around the street and looking all trifling, and I didn't want to look like that or for anything to happen to me.
Had you tried to get, like, a straight job before you started selling drugs?
No, I was too young.
Because you were 15.
Yeah.
So you couldn't have gotten a job then.
Mm-hmm.
Did you need the money badly?
Yes. I was taking care of myself. So I needed the money.
Does that mean you had to buy your own food?
Well,
what did you have to do for yourself that no one else would do that you needed money?
I had to wash my clothes. And I wanted money, you know, for whenever I wanted to do something or somebody said, "Well, we're going out to the movies tonight." So I would want money. And if I wasn't selling drugs, I wouldn't have any money to do anything that I wanted to.
What was it like when you were arrested? What happened?
The first time I was very scared. I didn't know what they were going to do to me. But
how did you get caught?
I was walking down the street and the cops pulled up on me. And they all got out of the car and drew their guns and told us to put up our hands and stuff like that. And I got caught with marijuana in my pocket. So they took me down to the station. And then I stood there for a couple hours. And then they let me call a taxi and go home.
Really?
Yeah.
And what happened the second time?
The second time, I was in the Lakeland.
What's that?
The detention center.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, for about 4 days. And then I went to court, and they let me go home.
So there's only been two times?
Mm-hmm. Well, there was a third time, but third time I stood there for a month and 10 days.
At the detention center?
Yes.
What was your experience like at the detention center? Was it a good experience, a bad
yes,
experience?
Yes, it was very good. I had a lot of time to think and, you know, look at what would happen if I continued to sell drugs or if I stopped and went back to school. And what I saw if I continued to sell drugs was nothing. I couldn't see nothing. And I thought about going back to school and everything, and I saw that I can get a good job and I would get a lot more respect.
Do you have people in your life who you've known either for a long time or a short time, yeah, who you look up to who are models for you?
Well, there was this one person that worked in a store, mm-hmm, and it was called Mike's Mini Market. He was the owner. His name was Mike. And the first and second time I got locked up, he had found out about it because he knew my family, you know. And every time I went into the store, he would, like, talk to me and tell me, you know, the things that should be done. And I knew what he was saying was true, but I just didn't want to listen to him. But it felt good. It felt real good to have somebody talk to me like that. But At first, I never really paid attention to him. But he kept on and kept on talking to me every time he saw me. And his wife did, too. So finally, every time, you know, when I was still selling drugs, I thought about, you know, everything he had said to me before, and it made a lot of sense. So it did a lot for me to have somebody talk to me like that.
Are you still in touch with him now?
Well, I see him every time I go to Camden.
Did you have people in your family who said that kind of stuff for you?
No.
What about your mother in New York? Are you in touch with her much?
I talked to her once in a while, but she never even spoke to me like that.
Do you wish your mother did?
Yeah.
Does she use drugs herself?
She used to. She's in rehabilitation now.
Did she use drugs when you were living with her?
Yes.
What was it like to know that your mother was using?
It hurt a lot, but I was really young when she started, so I didn't understand it that much. And it went on for years, and I never really understood it because I was real small. But as I got older, I learned about what drugs were and what they did to people, and I saw the symptoms in my mom, so I knew she was doing drugs.
Well, that's how you found out?
Yeah.
Are you angry with her for all that?
I'm not angry. I'm angry that she made that choice to do the drugs, but I'm not angry at her.
So what kind of living situation do you have now?
Now, I'm living with my aunt, and she does a lot for me. She washes my clothes, and she's like sort of my second mom. And I go to school from there, and she does a lot for me.
Can I ask you about some of your best and worst childhood memories?
I start off with the worst.
Okay.
One Halloween, well, it was Mischief Night. We had all got dressed up in black and had went out to cause mischief. And we were in Kramer Hill in Camden, and someone in the car had stopped and fired a gun twice, and everybody had scattered. There was a whole bunch of us, about 90 or 100 of us, and everybody just scattered, and I was with my cousins. I didn't know anybody else but my cousin. So everybody ran, and I thought I had saw my cousin duck into an alley, so I followed. And I bumped into one of the guys that were in the car, and he had a knife, another guy had a gun. And they made me strip, you know, to see if I had anything they wanted. And I did, and so they just let me go. I had told them that I lived in the house, and I had just came out to see why everybody was running in my yard.
That was something good to come up with.
Yeah.
That sounds terrifying.
I was scared.
So what are some of the good memories?
Good. I can't remember because they were like when my father was alive. So I can't remember too well.
And when was that? How long ago did he die?
When I was about 4 years old.
What did he die of?
He was murdered.
He was murdered?
Yeah.
Do you know the circumstances of the murder?
He was shot by the landlord. I think it was a money problem or something.
By the landlord?
Yeah.
Do you know a lot of people who've been shot?
Yeah.
Friends, family?
Friends, my cousin.
Is this one of the cousins he was dealing, who you lived with?
Yeah.
So you back in high school now?
No, I'm in a GED program.
So you're studying at home?
Yeah, I go to night school, and I study at home. I do some studying at home.
Is there a subject you're most interested in that you're studying?
Yeah, math is the hardest subject, so.
Is there a kind of work you'd like to have, a kind of job you'd like to have when you're done?
Well, I like a chance at helping people. No, I don't care how.
People kind of like the guy at Mike's people Mini and, Market like, helped
yeah,
you?
Yeah, in my situation, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like it would be really interesting work to do.
Yeah, it would.
You've talked about how at the detention center, when you were there for a few months, you had time to think. When you had time to think, it really changed your life.
Yeah.
Did you not have time to think before?
What do you mean?
Was it hard to find time to just to just think? To
While
think
I was
peace?
Out on the streets?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because the way I see it, you're always, you know, trying to make somebody believe that you're okay, you know, you're not like a nerd or something. I don't know, it's just, you never want to think.
Why don't you want to think?
You don't want to think positive, because positive things, you know, most people are doing negative things, so you're just going to follow with them.
Derek Penny will be back with us in the second part of our show to talk about his new life. He's living with an aunt in the country. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.